Is it?
Yeah.
It's awful how she gets into so much crap.
I know. You're so...
I didn't want another long-haired cat. I blame you.
I couldn't help it. He handed her to me.
She was adorable.
And I fell in love.
Look at her. What are you doing? What are you doing up there?
Hi.
Silly cat. Should we, get started, I guess?
Yep.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Daily Cup of Genre, LRMonline.com and LRM's Genreverse podcast network, daily show where we get to cover everything in geek and pop culture, brought to you by the good folks over at Grow Generation, where the pros do go to grow, or send the websites. Check out our YouTube channel, LRM's YouTube channel, where this podcast, all of our other podcasts from the Genreverse podcast network are available. If you're listening to us on your favorite listening app, like Spotify, Google, Apple, whatever the case may be, follow, subscribe, all that good stuff. Leave comments, reviews, things to help us stay on the air so we can keep bringing you guys content. I'm Kyle Malone, at that Kyle Malone on Twitter, and this is...
Christine and Saris.
And then you plug your
Oh, Twitter. Okay then. Yeah, you can find me at... Adorable Doom.
Oh man, it's Monday yeah, exactly. morning, and it's been a while. It's been a few weeks since we got to do a real Monday, if I'm not mistaken. So,
true.
A fun weekend overall. Watched a lot of different stuff. We got one episode left of The Great.
Yeah, it's taking us forever to get through stuff.
I know, right? And then what else did we we watched
Wheel
some anime
Time.
And Wheel of Time. We reviewed Weathering with You for Anime yep. Versal Reviews, which you guys can find online right now, as well as the Dragon Reviewed podcast, where yep. we did Wheel of Time episode 5.
We also did the latest episode of My Senpai is Annoying.
Yeah, that was fun. And then we need to watch Mieroku-chan.
Yep,
before Saturday's recording for Sunday's next AVR episode. So yeah, geez, Kat and Saris is in a really loving mood.
Demanding.
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna put the whole Spider-Man in across the Spider-Verse is right up front. I know people are gonna want to go ahead and see that reaction. You guys stop fucking talking about other shit and react to Spider-Man, because Kyle hates Sony. I do, but I really enjoyed the first Spider-Verse movie. Like, I thought it was adorable. Mm-hmm. I like the characters. I like the voice cast, music. Like, it's a neat, tight little package of a great comic book movie, cartoon. Just, they wasted Kingpin. It was such a... We didn't need that aspect of it, but I am excited to see what else they got. So let's go ahead and transition over to our trailers setup.
If it'll load.
Oh, it will as soon as I push play, or at least it should. Let's see. There we go. So meanwhile, in another universe, we have to make sure we talk some, so we don't let the music ruin the thing.
Talking. the song again.
Yeah.
Love it.
It's cool. The animation was the one thing I was semi-worried about originally, the stuttering with it. Look at me, stutter. Uh-oh, yeah. There's a...
Cool.
But I loved how it ended up turning out.
Yeah. Cool.
They aged him up a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah.
They look a little older.
She's a little older. This is funny.
Gunpla.
I can't believe that's your room.
Look at mine.
Oh, nice. Well, I'm just saying, like, stuffed animals and...
Look at mine.
Yeah.
That they're Power Rangers.
Yeah.
Is that Shuma Gorath in the background?
What are you doing?
That she's just chit-chatting. Want to get
no,
out, get
no,
out
the
again?
Cat.
Oh.
She's like digging her nose into my chest. Is Spider-Man grounded?
Hmm?
That's funny. Just do it.
Go, dude, go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Spider-Man's never grounded. Going through the multiverse.
Yep.
Or excuse me, Spider-Verse. Okay, so they're going to change up the animation again?
Yeah. Interesting.
That doesn't look like it has the stutter. It looks smoother. Ah, there he is, Miguel. Spider-Man 2099. Okay, so what they teased at the end of the last one with Miguel, Spider-Man 2099, we're going to get more of it.
Cool.
And that's the interesting thing is it's part one, which nice. I had seen the title of previously, of course, when I saw that the trailer came out. And look, we remembered to take off the headphones in a timely manner. I liked it a lot. What'd you think, Christine?
I liked it a lot, too. I can't wait to see it. I don't know. I just love the feel of Miles, the character. I loved the previous movie, and I'm, you know, just seeing him again, it's like, even though, you know, he's probably gonna be a little more mature, you know, just his personality is just really cool. And yeah, I just, when I heard about Miles Morales in the comics, when they were first talking about it, I was excited. You know, I'm like, yay.
New character,
burned out on Peter Parker a little bit.
Different take on the character. And
Yeah,
he had a bit of a rough start when the character was, like, first announced.
Yeah.
There was pushback, but I've always been fond of the idea of original characters that can take up mantles, but that are wholly their own. And Miles has turned out for a while. He was the Spider-Man I was actually reading, you know, like that. Mm-hmm. That was the Spider-Man, and because the Parker books just weren't all that great at the time. But this movie looks good and fun. I like Spider-Man 2099. I think he's a cool character, and look forward to following him. It was a product of the 90s, and it's something that a lot of people really like, but there hasn't been a whole bunch of content. He's been in a few of the games, both playable, like in Shattered Dimensions, I think it was, Shattered Dimensions. And then, of course, as a suit, but he doesn't really get a whole lot of screen time, so it'll be nice to see him get more than a meme at the end, which was great. What do you think about the idea of the whole going through the Spider-Verse instead of a whole bunch of people coming to him? The potential we're going to go through.
I'd love to see that
places new and worlds, animation styles.
You know, brand new adventures. Go somewhere. God. Anyway, ignoring the cat.
Yeah.
It looked really cool, and I'd love to see where else, you know, they can go, and so it'll be fun.
Yep. So Spider-Verse definitely on part one across the Spider-Verse, part one definitely on our watch list. And we're going to take a break from the Marvel things just to do Christine's favorite thing, but I have to talk about the numbers, guys. I it's one of those things that is super duper important, and there's actually a little bit of good news. Ghostbusters Afterlife did end up breaking 100 million. It had a pretty good weekend. I said it would need to be, you know, under like 60% to see if it would eke across 100 this weekend, which it did. 57%, not too bad, going up against Encanto, latest animated film from Disney. And then also, let's see here. What was the other brand new one that came out? Hold on. Christmas with whoever, House of Gucci. There was another new one, I thought. Okay, maybe not. Anyways, so Ghostbusters Afterlife had its decent third weekend, right? Mm-hmm. Crosses 102, You look at what's coming out next week, Spider-Man No Way Home. Does Ghostbusters break 120 domestically? Honestly, I don't know, guys. Like, that's... Whew. That's going to be hard to make week over week coming up against Spider-Man. But I am happy to see it cross 100 million because I really thought it was going to struggle a bit more, but it had that really great second weekend and a decent third weekend. Now, again, guys, that's relative to the fact that this is a super hyped movie that should have easily done 120 million opening weekend prior to the pandemic. Yeah. Where we'll be talking about Spider-Man's numbers and things like that the week after when it comes out that Monday morning. But I've got confidence it's going to break 100 opening weekend. I know the Omicron thing going on has people concerned. Please, you know, stay tuned to your trusted, you know, whatever you consider a trusted news source and with your healthcare teams to, you know, adjust your plans accordingly as we deal with that. But again, I'll point out AEW WWE full concerts, full other, you know, indoor sporting events like hockey, full.
Yep.
It's not just the pandemic, guys. People are just willing to wait, and that makes me sad.
Yeah, it's people. Yeah, like you said, willing to wait, spending money of theirs in other places.
I never, you know, burden anyone with actual, like, money issues as the reason why they will wait. Like, I get that. But at the same time, if you then go out and spend that money on the fast food instead when you could have eaten at home and you're like, oh, because I can wait. Mm-hmm. At least make sure then instead of the fast food, maybe buy the t-shirt or the home video release when it comes out instead of, you know, waiting on streaming. Because if you don't support the movies, the products, the shows, the games, all of that, it's going to go away.
Yeah. And let's hope that doesn't happen.
I think tomorrow, if we can do a good Tech Tuesday segment, we'll talk about Xbox Game Pass and Sony's upcoming revamp where they're basically combining PS Now and PlayStation Plus into their own cloud/subscription server. We'll talk a bit about that tomorrow. So, yeah. For the meantime, we're going to take a word from our sponsors and we'll be back with you guys in a second.
Grow Generation, where the pros go to grow. For all of your cultivation needs, Grow Generation has the right products, service and staff to make your grow successful. Go to www.growgeneration.com, where the pros go to grow.
And for some reason, my damn... See, what is this X thing? There it goes. It's stupid computer.
Hey, you're the one that put all this in here, and
so you and I are both fans of thanks Grow Generation. Sorry, I got thrown off for the computer things going on. But you and I are both fans of the Daredevil series from Netflix, and one of the things that people have been talking about for a while is Charlie Cox being rumored to be in Spider-Man No Way Home. And there's been alleged leaks and real leaks with all sorts of stuff. I'm not saying what leaks are real or just alleged concerning Charlie Cox as Daredevil, but there's no need to wonder anymore because Kevin Feige told CinemaBlend on Sunday, if we are to see Daredevil and upcoming things, Charlie Cox, yes, would be the actor playing Daredevil. Where we see that, how we see that, when we see that remains to be seen. So there you guys go. There's Feige basically saying without saying yes, I mean, that's pretty much a yes, right?
Yeah.
There's no other.
I mean, it wasn't like a denial. It wasn't like, we're not doing that. And it's you know, whenever we see it, you know, I don't know. Yeah.
Where and when and how, that's, yeah. We know that the current Hawkeye series deals with an arc from the comics. Matt Fraction wrote it. I can't remember the artist. I'm sorry, guys. I'm drawing a blank on his name. Did the silhouette style artwork, and a lot of people are like, boycott Hawkeye for not paying. And that I'm not going to get into, but it includes the Kingpin. And Kingpin is alleged to be, you know, Vincent D'Onofrio, whatever, Pyle. I kind of lost my train of thought, people. I'm sorry. I was getting
the
emails and stuff like that. No, hold on. So Kingpin's involved with Vincent, and then we've got this Daredevil, Spider-Man No Way Home rumor, right? People assuming, what if he's the defense lawyer or something like that? We'll see. I'm excited, though, just to know, and that kind of, in addition to Vincent's tweet about when Hawkeye started, this will be exciting. Like, I'm excited, man. I loved Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock, and I want to see more. How are you feeling about it?
Love it. Can't wait.
Keep going.
Okay. I'm honestly, I'm so excited about this. I think he did such a great job, and I'm kind of hoping that Marvel wants to bring in other people, John Bernthal especially. I just think he's the best. I'm hoping that, you know, we get more of this, and, you know, it's kind of like, it feels like the start of something great, you know.
What about the idea that these are very variants? Like, they might not have gone through everything that we saw in the Netflix series. Like, this might not be the same Kingpin. It could be a variant, if you will, for this universe.
They'll still sell it well. They'll still kick ass. It'd be kind of disappointing.
PG-13 versus rated R.
I know. That's
or
rough.
TV 14 versus M,
yeah.
I should say.
So it's like, I don't know. I mean, I still, you know, want to see them. They'll still have that, you know, they know how to do the characters, these actors. So I'd still want to see them. But yeah, it would be kind of rough, you know, them not going through what we had seen.
Yeah.
But we'll see. It's a giant maybe.
Yeah. I don't know how to word this. I can't say too much. I don't want to spoil anything. I could just say, guys, like if you don't have tickets for No Way Home, and you're not watching Hawkeye, and you're trying to avoid spoilers until like later in the holiday days, where you watch it all at once, or you're waiting to see Spider-Man on Christmas, like, I don't think you're going to be able to avoid spoilers. But yeah, I'm apprehensive because I've already seen what looks like this phase four with Marvel already looks to be a bit more kiddish, if you will, kid friendly. Mm-hmm. And not that the Infinity Saga wasn't accessible to kids, wasn't kid friendly. This just seems more slapsticky at times, and maybe I'm more hypersensitive to it.
Because you keep looking for it, because you've seen it so many times, it's like, it's hard to
ignore now.
Exactly. It's where your brain is, you know, looking for it. Like, I don't know how to word that. I hope you got what I meant.
No, I think, okay. I think it's kind of like the nostalgia thing, to where it's like, okay, yeah, even I was down with, you know, the idea of the Star Wars sequel trilogy after The Force Awakens, but hindsight is 20 fucking 20, and now I'm just like, No, I'm tired of it. I don't want it anymore. I don't want to revisit the same stuff again and again and again. You know, I keep saying it, especially with Star Wars, go 1,000 years in the future or 1,000 years in the past, so you stay the fuck away from Yoda, who's alive for 900 years leading up to Return of the Jedi, and then you get the fuck away from Palpatines and Skywalkers, and there's this whole other galaxy to explore, and they won't do it, and we as the consumers won't allow them because people are too excited to go back. Oh, you remember that thing I had when I was a kid? It wasn't that great, so let's redo it and make it better. Sometimes it is, and most of the time it isn't. I mean, think about it. Name like a remake or reboot that's been better, Christine.
At the top of my head,
or I've something got that fixed it. DuckTales.
True. Perfect. Yes. DuckTales. Yes, I will agree with that. And
Final Fantasy VII remake.
Yes.
At least the first part.
Mm-hmm. Other ones right now, like, because I wasn't expecting this question. I can't think of anything else.
Soft reboots, I can't think that are like the new Halloween. I like the Zombies reboot, but reimagining better versus this, you know, Halloween Kills, the one from a couple years ago. I mean, what'd you think of that one, that soft soft sequel reboot?
Is it better? I don't think so.
Nah, not my mind. Either it's fine, serviceable, but not. It's like it's the Force Awakens is a prime example. We all were wowed by it, but how do you feel like if I was like, you want to go watch the Force Awakens?
No. You want something that, you know, that doesn't, well, first off, you want to make something that doesn't age fast,
mm-hmm.
and then also that you're not going to be burned out on.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's a problem with a lot of things. It reminds me of the radio. I used to listen to the radio.
Top 40 stuff.
Yeah, FM radio as a kid all the time. I had it on, and then it just, for the 90s, like a lot of the music for the longest time, I hated it. It's like, I hate this song. And you're like, oh, well, I actually love this song. I'm like, no. The radio murdered it. It's not good anymore. You ruined it for me. It kind of reminds me of that, where it's like, you're overdoing it. It's too much. Calm down. So.
I just, like I said, it's kind of one of those things where you're just constantly dealing with So much of the low-hanging fruit, and I get it. You guys are making money. I'm not begrudging you on that. Well, you're making some money on some things. But you are attracting an audience regardless. You're creating an audience. Whether or not they actually give you money is a different question. But in creating that, in catering to that audience, you're never helping them mature. You're never helping them grow up. Like I said, there was a point in my life where, yes, I still like Ghostbusters 2 and the real Ghostbusters, but I prefer to watch the original. And that started happening around high school. I'm matured. I still appreciate to this day. I'll still watch Ghostbusters 2. And the cartoon, the real Ghostbusters. I was too old to get into Extreme, and I didn't care for the silliness of Slimer and the real Ghostbusters. I like when Straczynski was doing a lot of things early in. I don't see people doing that anymore. They're sticking with the childish part of it. Not even watching things grow up, like going from the original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to getting into the more mature comics,
mm-hmm.
you know, having an appreciation for how grown up while still kid friendly the 2012 Ninja Turtles cartoon was versus the 80s cartoon,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then looking at the current one where you're like, wow, like not only are the aesthetics awful, but you guys are, it's like that Twitch streamer, game streamer voice, you know. Everything Hollywood gives us is patronizing, and YouTubers take that and do the same. And I almost think they're out of fear of sounding like a pretentious ass. They are keeping people dumb, keeping them immature, keeping them.
I just think it's easy. I don't think it's like they're keeping them dumb. I think it's just taking the easy way. And what I'm thinking is, like, there's so many 80s and 90s movies that we reference, some, you know, like early 2000s that we'll reference as well, mm-hmm. you know, where it's like we can go back on, we can remember fondly, we can rewatch.
Mm-hmm.
But here it just kind of feels like there's going to be a lot of forgettable projects. You know,
very, very well put, Christine.
Thank you.
Hey, thank you. Where is Gen Z's Goonies? They're little monsters.
Do they have anything epic like that?
Where's
you know?
Their Where's their sports? Where's their Angels in the Outfield or Little Giants? Where's their Rookie of the Year? Where is their Stand By Me. Where's the great coming of age movies that will stand the test of time?
Yeah, that's actually a good question. Any Gen Zers, why don't you leave a comment on what you think would be yours? Because this is, you know, for what is out there for coming of age is more toward you guys. So what do you feel will stand the test of time? Because this is your generation. Mm-hmm. This isn't ours. So I'd like to hear what you have to say.
I see too many projects these days that are going to be dated, though.
Yeah,
they're dated by politics. Things, especially during the Trump administration. Like that was one of the worst parts about Suicide Squad was like, you guys were banking on the idea that he may have won, and instead now you had this movie coming out after he's out of office, and it's a whole bunch of you know stuff laid at that, and it's dated now. It's tied to that.
Yeah.
You think of a movie like Back to the Future that will forever be relevant, even though it's very, very dated by its aesthetic and music. The story is universal. The jokes are universal. The idea of interacting with your parents in the past is a universally, you know,
what would it be like?
Exactly. Like, but when you start thinking about, What have you seen to like? I can't things for Luke is like the Detective Pikachu and Sonic the Hedgehog. Those are good fun movies. I don't see those being Ghostbusters, Ninja Turtles, or what did I just say? Back to the Future?
Yeah,
movies, not the whole franchise. The franchises of Pokemon and Sonic I get very very huge, but I'm talking like the reverence for the movie based on that IP.
Yeah.
Yet today people will still want to watch Turtles 1.
Yeah. And I'm also wondering, because like there's so much content out there. You know, there's people who get on TikTok and YouTube. They'll, you know, there's TV and movies and stuff like that. I wonder, you know, how this generation will age where it's like they don't hold on to stuff as tightly
that
as we
too.
Do.
That
so it could be like, you know, someone in the comments being like, we're not like you. We don't want to do that. So maybe it could be something like that. I don't know.
I just can't imagine entertainment being so disposable. We used to think of disposable entertainment as like reality shows.
Oh, God, yeah.
Dime a dozen, same things, scripted drama, or even if it's unscripted, it's still producers stirring shit like, hey, psst. Bob said you got a big ass.
The
Bob,
real world.
You motherfucker, my ass isn't big. You know, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
And
can't name a single scene from any of that. And I've seen a lot of it where it's like, yeah, it's, I already deleted it, not worth keeping. So I hope it's not going to be like that.
So I they don't even have a home. What is the current generation? So something made since 2000. What's the Christmas classic since 2000?
Since 2000? When was Elf made? I don't remember what year that was.
I don't know. That might be... That's a good one. I'll give you that. Elf is pretty well loved.
I freaking love that movie.
Let's,
I know you don't.
Let's go down the line of like 80s, 90s stuff. You start talking Christmas Vacation, Muppets, Christmas Carol, the Santa Claus, Nightmare Before Christmas, Home Alone 1 and 2, because both of those first ones are
very, very solid, yeah.
Very widely loved. So yeah, you got Elf, which
I'm looking at Christmas music. Like Mariah Carey will forever be Christmas music.
They got Bublé, and he like supposedly really liked these days. No,
I don't know about that, but I don't. When I was working at a store,
Elf was 03. So
yeah, okay, yeah. So I was working at this one department store, and whoever was working in the customer service just loved Michael Bublé. And I remember walking into work, you know, I was working like 10-hour shifts because mm-hmm. we didn't have enough people. And like after like maybe a few minutes of you know, getting settled, I'd hear it. And I'm like, I'm going to have to hear, I guess, whatever it was, like his greatest hits or something like that. This whole CD that she put in, I'm going to have to hear it my entire shift. And she played it every time she worked. So for me, it was like, no, I don't like Michael Bublé. I have no problem with him, but she murdered your music.
Scrooged. Forgot about that.
Yes.
Yeah. So I'm looking up good housekeeping, and it's slow. Trying to look up their like 60 top 65 Christmas movies, and there's not a lot from the last few decades. They've got a few on there. Something like a Christmas Prince from Netflix, but like the top going from 1 through 10. So starting at number 1, good housekeeping, National Lampoon's, or excuse me, It's a Wonderful Life, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Love it. Christmas Story. Not a fan. Charlie Brown Christmas. I don't consider that a movie. It's a TV thing.
Yeah,
Elf, number 5, 03, Home Alone 2, Miracle on 34th Street, 47 version. They actually got 2018's The Grinch animated. I love it.
Yes.
I don't know if it's going to be a timeless classic.
I think it'll be close to it. If not, you know, if it's not, it'll be at least close where it's still like, it's still loved. I mean, because that movie was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. 2006's The Holiday with Kate Winslet is number 9. And number 10, The Santa Claus. So
it's mostly old.
Yeah, and then number 11, Home Alone, and then The Santa Claus 2. I wouldn't put that on there, but that's 2002. A Boy Called Christmas from Netflix at number 13. Bad Santa, number 14. And The Man Who Invented Christmas. Those are all from the modern, you know, couple decades. And I really wouldn't consider those timeless classics. The majority of those top 10? Yeah.
Yeah, but like we also have like where you were talking about like Miracle on 34th Street. There's, you know, people today that still have that as a Christmas tradition to watch it, you know. And I know I'm not like a fan of that movie. A lot of the older ones I don't really do, but no. You know, where it's like you've got like those types of old movies, and then you've got like the older ones like what we enjoy,
80s,
and then
90s,
you know, stuff that's pretty new, you know. So there's a lot of Christmas movies, so maybe not too much on how many are gonna stick as classics, because we already have a whole bunch. So it just kind of, I don't know. We'll see.
It's crazy to think that Elf might be one of the last timeless classics. Maybe the animated Grinch.
Yeah, because it was really
animation's one of those things that can be people are fickle with. I think that's the word. Are picky with. I'm very picky with animation, so I hope it sticks because it is a good fun movie. Anyways,
Well, people like Charlie Brown, and
yeah, that's
so
true.
maybe it'll be fine.
That is true indeed. So I guess what we can do now, guys, is wrap up the show, tell you where to go and what to do, because you know we got to do stuff like that. You're listening on, if you're listening on your favorite podcast app like SoundCloud or Spotify or something like that. Genreverse Podcast Network from LRM online. The Wheel of Time, episode 5. No book spoilers, guys. It's just Cam asking us. We give you some theories and answer some questions while all the people that have read the books go, oh my God, they're fucking idiots, or how did they get that? And so, yeah, and I had some pretty insightful stuff that proves what that brings into question how little I actually know about fantasy when I was talking about the merchants and stuff like that. So yeah, check that out. Anime Versal Reviews did Weathering with You. Brian had never seen it before, so great conversation about that. Breaking Geek Radio, The Cantina, Marvel Multiverse Mayhem, and of course, The Cantina, which you guys are watching or listening, or
Daily Cog.
Jeez, which you guys are watching or listening to right now. And then I got to be careful on how I talk sometimes. I got to be very, very deliberate. And then I'm trying to share our other videos with you guys. Lots of celebrity interviews, videos from Comic-Con LA, Zachary Levi, Giancarlo Esposito, you know, everyone, of course, big on him from Mandalorian and The Boys recently. He's been in a lot of other projects as well. People wanted him to be Dr. Doom, and I'm like, guys, I got it. He's a great bad guy, but I don't need a 60-year-old Doom.
Oh, yeah.
I would prefer a, like, 38 to 45-year-old Doom. Yeah, midlife Doom.
Yeah.
He's got to have ruled Latveria for a moment. Anyways, so we got all that going on, and of course, LRMonline.com. Every day, all your entertainment news, needs, and opinions. Look at that. Charlie Cox is Daredevil. Kevin Feige says we already talked about that. Trailers, clips, everything you guys can imagine is there. Christine, anything else you wanted to throw in, say?
No, I'm good.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully. Maybe. We'll see. Bye.